So what's up?
Nothing.
All right, it's over now. And thank you for listening. For the half people that listen.
Yeah. Okay, is this switched? Okay, say something now.
Okay, I'm saying something now.
All right. I had to switch from speakers to headphones.
Okay.
All right, so I guess we're already recording.
Yeah. I guess we are. Get my phone away over there. So what's going on, man? Well, I guess, should we start or something officially?
I don't know. We can chat for a second.
Yeah, I guess so.
Trying to find, where's my notes? Okay, they're open.
Okay. So what have you been up to?
Nothing.
Nothing at all?
No. I mean, I've been working. I've actually been busy at work, so.
For once, right?
I haven't had a whole lot of goof-off time. Yeah. I've been busy since for last month or so.
Yeah.
I mean, I still have the odd day where I'm not real busy, but. Yeah, it's kind of like a normal job.
Yeah, this is bullshit. They're making me work.
I don't know. I think it's just about perfect right now.
Yeah.
I still have the odd day where I can just totally fuck off.
Yeah.
But then other days where I'm real busy. It was a perfect example this week. One day I worked overtime. Another day I only worked like 2 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah, Michelle says she's not listening right now, because if she does, then that'll ruin it.
Oh, okay.
Because she's our only listener.
Yeah. Well, we've done a lot to cultivate people to listen.
I don't even care. I saw something, some promo thing for you, and you were talking about you do this and that, and you have a podcast. It's DNR. Didn't even mention this, and I'm like, yes!
Yeah, I mean,
I wouldn't mention it either. I mean, I tell people at work about my band. I don't tell them about the podcast. I'm afraid they'll come see the band.
Yeah. Well, too, and everyone has a podcast. I mean, even, you know, your next door neighbor about Star Wars or something probably has a podcast.
Yeah, Billy Joel podcast.
Yeah.
He just reviews every song by Billy Joel one by one, over and over and over. But he only has the greatest hits.
That would be a terrible podcast. But I guess you'd probably find somebody out there that would be like, hey, this isn't bad.
Yeah.
But then you'd have to tell people that I have a Billy Joel podcast.
Yeah.
I mean, you wouldn't have to, but I guess you could.
Yeah, just sit and hope that you're relatives or friends discover it on their own.
Yeah.
Steve Jones has a podcast. I've listened to a few of those.
Yeah.
Most of it's just taken from the interviews that he did when he was a DJ, but he's got a few fresh ones.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah. So I've listened to like three of them. He's done 8 or 9.
Yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, what's going on with comedy?
I've just been busy with shit. I had my Fratelli show last night.
Yeah.
That turned out good. I'm always happy to see like people come out, especially because this time of year is typically the hardest for comedy and for a lot of things too, because summer.
Yeah. We actually get a lot of our shows in the summer, but it's because places are still if you're a big band, you do better in the fall and the winter and the spring. But they just want to get bodies in the door, so they'll put anybody on the stage.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we play a lot more shows in the summer. But yeah, we're opening for a national touring band next week. Don't ask me who they are. It's on a Wednesday night. We probably got the gig because nobody else wasn't to play on a Wednesday night.
Yeah, sometimes it's like that. It definitely feels like that.
Yeah.
But it's been, you know, since, you know, the pandemic and stuff, mm-hmm. it's been really weird after that. But I mean, there seems to be some normalcy.
Around here, COVID is really down. But then you go to even just like across the border to like West Virginia, it's still really bad.
Yeah.
So it ain't over yet. It can cross back over the state lines at any time.
You don't know that. But yeah, at least people are coming out. But I had a great turnout. I had the place packed last night.
Mm-hmm.
But so that was good. Then
yeah, I didn't go.
Nope.
I didn't go to see the Dwarves either.
Yeah, neither did I.
Yeah. Well, you were busy. I was mowing the fucking lawn. I'd rather mow the lawn than see the Dwarves.
Yeah.
And honestly, if it was a $10 show, I might have gone. But yeah, it was the Dwarves and the Queers and the Jasons.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember hearing about that show.
Yeah. And the Jasons, we actually played with them technically.
Yeah.
But I didn't stay. Typical me. And we weren't even on the same night anyway.
Yeah.
It was a big festival. Anyway, I mean, they're novelty punk rock. They wear Jason masks and sing about killing people. It's really funny the first time. But, you know, I've already listened to them once. I got the joke.
Yeah.
And then the Queers, we saw them 25 years ago. They weren't very good then. They're probably not better now.
Yeah.
And I just don't like the Dwarves enough to pay $25. You know, it's granted, I'll probably, if they die tomorrow, I might regret not seeing them, but I don't think I will.
Yeah. You'll be able to live your life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then tonight, I'm in Anvil doing my Snits and Giggles show.
Mm-hmm.
So, hopefully I should get a good turnout for that as well.
Yeah.
That room's less insane than Fratelli's, but
Anvil, that's pretty far out, isn't it?
It's like 40 minutes from my house. It's straight up the interstate to like 81.
Different Anvil.
Yeah.
I was thinking it was out. There's an Anvil way out past Brogue.
Oh, yeah, no. Wrong direction.
Yeah. Well, there's all these towns named the same thing.
Yeah.
Like Jersey Shore, which is west of Williamsport.
Yeah. Well, last Sunday for Father's Day, I did this show in Minersville, Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. which it took like an hour to get there. But that was fun because that was in a church and we were allowed to... We could not be clean, so that was fun.
Yeah. I like performing clean occasionally. I think I've done it once.
I've done church comedy once, and it was interesting, mm-hmm. but it's just normally when you get into church, you can't. You're not, you know, they don't let you talk about everything, but this, they're like, yeah, you can do whatever.
Yeah.
So that was fun. Yeah. So that's what I've really been doing, like work, then performing comedy, then putting shows together.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
for you, I guess comedy is kind of like your passion right now. To me, playing in a band is just a hobby.
Yeah.
So I don't really dedicate myself to it. Maybe I should. I'm not getting younger.
Yeah, I'm definitely dedicated to it. I'm trying to put my website together currently because I have a couple of things that I'm applying for, like comedy wise, and I've just been dragging my feet, so I need to do it.
Yeah. Well, last Friday, I actually did something. I think it was Friday. Maybe it was 2 weeks ago. I went to see the Smithereens.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
That was really good. They were probably better with Marshall Crenshaw than they were with Pat Denizio the last few years.
Yeah.
Because he was not in very good health.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was, it was weird. I was just logged into Facebook randomly in the evening, which I usually, I mean, I might check it once or twice.
Yeah.
And I just, there's this picture on the Smithereens page. It's like, oh yeah, Club XL in 2 hours, you know, get ready. And I'm like, is there more than one Club XL? That, no, they're playing in Harrisburg tonight. It's 10 minutes from my house.
Yeah.
I paid $5 to see them. That was that was worth it. I knew all their songs.
Yeah,
it wasn't super crowded. I managed to stay in the back.
Yeah. Yeah, last week I did this like radio show and then after that we stopped in Wrightsville because a guy I know that came out to that underground mic that I was running in Lancaster and stuff last year and stuff. He had been out to the mic a few times and he actually performed, but I mean, he's a musician through and through. And so I actually got to finally see him perform with one of his bands. And yeah, that guy is very good on bass.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very good. So that was a good time. But even so, I mean, that was a Saturday night and they had a decent crowd in there, but it wasn't like packed.
Yeah. Was it originals or covers?
No, they were just, it was, that's his money making band, I think. So it's all covers. Yeah. I think that's what that band is. That's the band that, you know, helps fund his other stuff, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. What was their name?
Mama's Horn. Yeah, they had it. They even had a sax player.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, I mean, they're doing this covers they're doing, you know, it's, you figure they're playing in a bar in Pennsylvania. So, you know, they're going to play, you know, your typical, some of your typical classic rock shit. But,
like the Benny Hill theme.
Yeah. Now, you know, shit like George Thorogood and things like that. Because that's, you know, especially in that room they were playing, is like that shit. That's easy money for them. But I get, I mean, you got to do what you got to do. So,
yeah.
I guess a chance to play is a chance to play. But yeah, that's, I don't know. It's just weird now. Shows in general and things, just the way people come out and different things like that.
Yeah. Well, we're not expecting anybody at this Wednesday show because it's a Wednesday show for one thing.
Yeah.
And it's at the West York Inn, and like the metal shows are doing real well there, but the punk shows and other stuff, we're not doing all that well.
So. Yeah. Yeah. It's very hit or miss because, you know,
even though punk is kind of making a resurgence right now on the radio and stuff, it's just not real popular locally.
Yeah. Well, it's that and the combination that it is still hard to get people to come out now, especially after in the past 2 years.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, there are a core group of people, I mean, that just always come out because they'll always come out. But now, like a lot of those people that were, no, that would be maybe on the fence. Like, oh, yeah, you know, I'll go out, blah, blah, blah. I think now people just fall into more like, oh, I'm just going to stay home and shit. And plus, it's, you know, inflation and shit like that's not helping. It's not like it's gas is cheap and shit right now. That's definitely makes an impact.
Yeah. Well, gas has dropped by 10 cents locally.
a reason to celebrate.
Yes, now I have a reason to live.
Yeah, I wasn't going to take that trip to, you know, Florida, but now 10 cents, I'm going.
Yeah. Well, Michelle's car is a flex fuel, so that's a lot cheaper.
Yeah.
So we've been trying to take that one.
Yeah, so that's there's a lot going on. They get people out and shit. Mm-hmm. I think that's part of the reason why I've been doing like putting these like no cover shows and stuff together.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm still making money off of them because you get paid to do it, but I think it's just going to get tougher and tougher to get, you know, to get people to come out and pay for something. But then on top of that, if you get them to pay for something, now you got to give them a hell of a show too.
Yeah.
There's really no excuses because, you know, someone's paying all this fucking money for gas, blah, 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 and they come out to your show, then if you just tank it,
mm-hmm.
yeah, it's not going to be good for anybody. It's weird times, man.
Well, this year we have the same number of shows booked as we had last year. I mean, that's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's like 9 shows for the year. We try to have 12
yeah.
in a month.
Yeah.
And since we take a month off, that's more like 11. But usually what happens, we end up playing like 3 or 4 shows in 1 month. And then none for a while.
Yeah.
Basically, other than the West York Inn, there really isn't a whole lot of other places to play.
Yeah.
I mean, Skid Row Garage is kind of getting itself back together.
Yeah.
I don't even know if they're still putting on shows at Love Dress. I think they put on one occasionally.
Yeah, I've seen them advertise stuff, but it's been like since that last one, I haven't really seen anything.
Yeah, so. They were putting them on like once or twice a month. Now they're only putting them on. They're focusing on getting the new place up and running.
Yeah. I mean, as they should.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a good idea to keep your name and stuff out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's funny that I work with one of the guys from who plays in Old Tigers, Gary.
Yeah. I've never actually met any of them other than the singer.
Yeah. Yeah, I've only met Gary. That's all I've met from that band.
Yeah. I saw them open for, who was that? That British band. They've been around forever. The Addicts.
Okay.
Yeah, and then some other band. I don't know if they had to sell tickets or what to open.
That's possible. Where was the show at?
Lancaster at the Chameleon.
It's possible. Maybe they had to.
Yeah, because the opening act, the opener really, they were okay, but I was just thinking we would have been so much better as the opener.
Yeah.
And I don't know that we even tried to open for that gig. All right, so next on my list, you know what's coming out this fall?
What's that?
Goat Simulator 3.
You're excited about that, aren't you?
I am. It gives me something to look forward to.
Yeah.
I've probably spent more hours on that game than anything except for Civ 2.
Yeah.
And the main reason why I play Civ 2 more is because I play it when I'm bored at work sometimes.
Yeah. Are they going to make any improvements to Goat Simulator 3?
It's supposed to be a much larger environment this time instead of a bunch of little ones.
Yeah.
And it's also supposed to have cooperative multiplayer.
Okay.
Either single computer or online play, up to 4 people.
Oh, okay, got ya. Got ya.
I don't know. I hope they kept the complete lack of point That's what made the game so great. There is nothing to do. It's like after you beat Grand Theft Auto, you're just running around blowing stuff up.
Yeah. Yeah, I've played that here and there, the Goat Simulator.
Mm-hmm. I swear I've got, like, according to Steam, I've got almost 200 hours in it.
Yeah.
As soon as I saw they were coming out with a sequel, I started playing it again. I even have the little goat doll that they sold for a while.
Yeah.
The one with the tongue that's longer than the goat is.
Yeah. So it's safe to say that you're into it then.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have a goat tattoo or anything.
Taken it to the next level.
No. Yeah. No, I haven't bought a goat. Well, anyway, I guess it's time for my big surprise.
Okay. Is that the build up?
Yep. Well, I had to reach around and get it.
Okay.
I went to my mini storage last week.
Okay.
You know what I found?
What?
Every fucking song you ever wrote.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Oh, no. It's great. I took a cursory look through them today. Most of your lyrics seem to go into the same kind of themes.
Yeah.
I'm going to kind of psychoanalyze you a little bit, especially the ones when we were still in middle school. A lot of the songs were about like being tough.
Yeah.
That kind of went by the wayside. There was a lot of songs about sex.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So I'm going to psychoanalyze that. And I'm going to assume that you like sex.
Yeah, I think that would be safe to say.
Okay. There's also a lot of just general weirdness.
Yeah, that makes sense.
About strange characters. Downsides of being a superhero. That was kind of a recurring theme.
Yeah.
And I got an entire pile of songs about eating people.
Yeah.
Killing people and eating them. Like Chainsaw Love.
Okay.
Let's see. Oh, Toxic Sluts, where they want to kill and eat you.
Yeah.
Here we go. Eat the Young. Salt, Pepper, Parsley, They Roast Nicely. Mr. Smiley.
Oh, yeah. I remember Mr. Smiley.
You wrote 3 or 4 songs called Mr. Smiley. Mr. Smiley's a man, kills when he can. It's so neat, eats you as meat.
Yeah.
Oh, Mr. Smiley, show us your ways. Hey, Mr. Smiley, give us recipes. Eat it, owls. The soup is so sweet, but it tastes like feet. 7 people are missing. We're not saying anything. Oh, here's a promo. It's like, oh, you've just reached the power station. Hey, I want to hear a song from my dead girlfriend. Oh, cool. That's just great. Yeah, just killed her. So what song do you want to hear? Tasty Treat. Oh, here we go. Here's Don't Bend Over for the Soap, the original one.
These are all masterpieces, goddammit.
Yeah, this is one of the early ones. This had to have been from 1989. That makes you feel young, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
They seem to go from about 89 through about 96. It was around the time you stopped writing.
Okay.
At least when you stopped giving me piles of songs every week.
Yeah.
All right. Here's a Glass Eye. That was just a plain weird one.
Yeah.
Well Hung Chihuahuas 3. I never recorded this one. We're Ready to Cow.
All right.
Oh, doing the was about Fuzzy Wuzzy, one of our recurring characters.
Oh, yeah. Everyone loves Fuzzy Wuzzy.
Oh, yeah. Here we go. Why? This is why me and DV want some pussy.
That's funny.
Yeah. Let's see. OD on Flintstones. You wrote this one 5 or 6 times. Let's see. Big Sexy Banana. Look at my peel. You know it's real, but me and your throat and you won't choke. Grab me, hold me, squeeze, squeeze. Video Bandits. Looks like it was written on the back from when you worked at Dentsply.
Yeah, it's possible.
I see. Spanking the Monkey. I might use that title. Big fat women were in my bed. I couldn't believe it until they started giving me head. Big men, small boys. I think I'll just go past that one. My erection is so huge, you'll be accused. The girl of my dreams is a bitch. Rock and roll zombies. One of a couple songs called Statutory Ape.
Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, salty meat. I missed that one. That's another one about eating people. Are we in hell? No, just York. I'm going to use that next Wednesday. Let's see. Downside of being a superhero.
Yeah.
Let's see. Coming back hard again. We did record that, but I lost the tape. And then the first song I ever wrote, Butt Fuck Yourself. We recorded that one.
Yeah, I vaguely remember that one.
Yeah, there were a couple of my songs in there, maybe one for every 500 you wrote.
Yeah.
Yeah, with me, I was usually trying too hard to be funny.
Yeah.
That's the lesson I got. Instead of just being funny, which hopefully I've at least, I wouldn't say mastered, but at least I'm aware that that's important.
Yeah. Yeah, that does help from time to time.
Yeah. Well, one of the problems I had back then was rhyming just doesn't come easy to me like it does to you, I guess.
Yeah.
And I would always get stuck trying to come up with the perfect rhyme, and then the entire rest of the song would suck. I didn't learn. Just start writing. It doesn't have to rhyme. It doesn't have to have good cadence. Just write.
Yep.
You know, you don't write a song. You rewrite a song.
That's kind of how it works with jokes, too.
Yeah.
Just write and write.
Yeah, but I got about 5 good ideas out of that pile. I'm serious. There's 4 or 5 notebooks full.
Interesting.
Yeah, and I got other weird papers just from when you were in high school. One was from Dallastown, so it had to be from middle school.
Yeah. These are all hits, I tell you.
Yeah, I know.
Clamoring for the box set.
Comes with lighter fluid and matches.
Yeah. Except the stuff now that I probably write now is worse because at least, you know, if you read that, it's like, all right, this is supposed to kind of be a song, but, you know, jokes are and thoughts are much worse because I have notebooks full of stuff. And, you know, when you're writing it on paper, and if someone goes back to read it, they don't understand the tone or like the cadence that you're writing it in from your perspective.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it could read like a fucking psychopath.
Yeah.
And it's like, who is writing this psychopathic shit?
Mm-hmm.
But that's how you work shit out. But yeah, if you would look at my notebook, you'd be like, I think a serial killer is living here.
I'll start writing jokes about salty meat. That's a gold mine, I'll tell you.
Yeah. Like, what the hell is this? Now, all those will be bona fide hits, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, what do you have anything to say about abortion now?
Not really. It's pretty fucked up, I guess.
Yeah. I think the only thing I have to say is that we knew this was coming. Like, why are people prepping now and panicking now? Yeah. We knew it was coming months ago. You should have already been buying all the over-the-counter abortion pills from Amazon and hoarding them.
Yeah.
Yeah, instead of waiting until now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really weird times that we're letting, you know, weird religious zealots and like just vocal minority groups control shit.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't really have anything to add.
No, it's weird. And, you know, I'm definitely more concerned about like what else is this going to bring,
mm-hmm.
bring on? And I don't know. It's a weird time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that is a very good point too. You know, people keep bringing up too about lying under oath and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't know.
I don't have any unique insight. I mean, obviously I care. I mean, like they say, this isn't the first. Yeah. They're going to start tackling, what is it, gay marriage and just birth control. Boy, yeah. That's a good idea. You don't want abortion? So you're going to ban the pill?
Yeah, it really just doesn't make any sense. It's like, there's like real fucking problems and we're wasting our time with society trying to be controlled.
Mm-hmm.
I would just say it's more embarrassing for them. They just you're really just saying we got nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, infrastructure in the country is horrible, and you know the idea of electric cars are nice, but in reality, we don't really have the infrastructure for it.
Yeah. I mean, they did pass that bipartisan bill earlier this year, and it included a lot of funding for more charging spots.
Yeah.
But even so, yeah, wake me in 5 years. I mean, they do make great commuter cars.
Yeah.
You know, if you commute like 45 minutes, then on the freeway, an electric car makes, why would you not buy an electric car?
Yeah.
It's not that, especially next year. Excuse me, this fall, assuming you can find one, that Chevy's supposed to start at $26,000.
Yeah.
With a 260-mile range. Now, sure, reality, it can probably cut that in half. Because, you know, as soon as you drive it in winter, the mileage goes down.
Yeah.
But they say, at least the Chevy Bolt, the 2017 model, before the battery started catching fire, they still held a full charge. You know, even 4 years later. So that's taken a lot off my mind.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like so many things. It's all about it's just like a weird sense of control that's like going on.
Mm-hmm.
Especially like I feel like with people going back to work.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about really people be, it's just more about control.
Yeah,
because we've proven that most jobs can be done at home.
Yeah, so now they're forcing everyone into the office, and now gas is $5 a gallon and they wonder why.
Yeah, but then what's it matter if someone is not completely busy during the day?
Mm-hmm.
As long as they're doing their job and you're doing what's asked of them, what the fuck does it matter if they're in an office or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
That's why too, I think when people are back at work, like the people that are back at work and stuff, and no wonder they're so fucking angry, because you can prove that you can do that at home.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right too, you know, with gas and stuff, that's definitely not helping.
Yeah, it's totally asinine.
Yeah, it makes no sense. It's like, we're gonna put everyone fucking back at home again.
Mm-hmm.
And watch gas drop immense, you know, watch that price drop.
Yeah, not to $2.50 a gallon. That was because of a price war between Russia and Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
But it would probably be $3.50 a gallon.
Yeah. And that's a hell of a lot better than five or over five.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it depends on where you're at. I mean, we got that 25 cents a gallon tax in this state.
Yeah. But I mean, either way, you're just, you know, close to five.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's just dumb shit like that, that I understand like why people were pissed and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't like going to a store and I mean, this was happening before the pandemic and, you know, like less cashiers and more self-checkout,
mm-hmm.
which is the fucking worst at a grocery store. Like if you go to the self-checkout line with a cart full of groceries, you're an asshole.
Yeah.
You really are, because you're not helping anybody. It's not saving you any time.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it's probably more time.
Mm-hmm.
That's why.
Yeah, if I'm literally carrying stuff in my hands or in one of those little tiny baskets, I'll go through the self-checkout. Otherwise, even then, if I'm not going to wait too long, I'll go through the regular checkout.
Yeah.
I mean, I can understand replacing the express lanes with self-checkout.
Yeah. And, anyone that works like in fast food, like, I don't know how those restaurants are still standing.
Yeah.
I would have figured like the employees would at least burned each one down by now.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm just going to say statistically, there's probably at least 2.25 employees at every fast food restaurant that just want to burn that place down.
Yeah. I heard that Amazon is running out of potential employees because their turnover is so bad.
Oh, yeah. I read that. Yeah. Like this, they're going to completely tap out of the workforce by like 2024.
I heard that was supposed to be later this year.
Yeah. I think it's a mixture of both. Like in certain areas, it's like this year. But then their overall projection as mm-hmm. a company throughout the country is by 2024.
Mm-hmm.
They figure they'll completely be tapped out of the labor market, which is crazy.
Yeah, but and all they have to do, though. All they have to do is pay people competitive wages and allow them to go to the bathroom. You know, yeah. I mean, yeah. I would willingly pay more for Amazon Prime.
Yeah, and the motto should be, "It'll fucking get there."
Yeah. And not only that, they can invest more in robotics.
Yeah. Which I'm sure they've done.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have some issue, but I mean, it's not like they haven't been investing in, you know, automation.
Yeah.
But I mean, that shit's been happening too with fast food. I remember during the pandemic and, you know, they were talking about essential workers and things like that. But I read this article and this one of the CEOs from some fast food restaurant is like, yeah, if these people don't come back to work, they're going to be replaced by robots. You're just making the decision easier.
Mm-hmm.
And when you read that, it's like, well, if you know anything about reality and how technology works, it's like that stuff has been in the pipeline for 10 plus years now.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's been working to do automation. Now, are there some companies that are just getting on board? Sure. But like most companies, especially big corporations, they've been doing automation for, you know, 10 plus years.
Mm-hmm.
And probably within the last 5 to 7, it's been very aggressive to get automation into wherever you're doing, especially in manufacturing.
Yeah. One of the things that worries me is that theoretically, a machine could do my job. Printed circuit board layout. They've had auto routers for decades. They aren't very good.
Yeah.
Because the auto routers are trained by human beings. But with machine learning and artificial intelligence, they could probably do a better job than us. And probably it'll be affordable in another 5 or 10 years. Fortunately, I only got another 5 or 10 years to go. And smaller companies won't be able to afford that.
Yeah. But it's been going like that way for a while.
Yeah.
And there's countless information out there of economics I can't even get, economist. I can't even say it right now. But anyway, you know, they've been warning and telling people, it's like, hey, you know, with all this technology being placed in all these industries, it's not unreal to think, you know, these jobs are going away. And what are you going to do with humans?
Yeah.
When those jobs are replaced by machines, which mm-hmm. is going to happen. And it has been happening.
Yeah.
Now the place I work, the packaging area, they installed automation. They started that probably like 5 years ago now. Is when they started bringing in everything. So probably, I don't know, past 4 years or more has been strictly automation. And at first when they brought in the automation, they laid off a bunch of people because they're like, oh yeah, you know, these robots and blah. But then they had to hire a bunch of people back because it just created different jobs
mm-hmm.
within that. So they actually had to bring back a good part of that workforce.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that shit's out there and it's a reality. And, you know, of course, we won't address it until it's too late.
Yeah. Yeah. And probably the wrong thing to do would try to prevent it.
Yeah.
The right thing is what? Find something else to do with these people.
Yeah. Or if you're a conservative, you say, oh, we got to start helping coal miners. I mean, yeah. An industry that's been dying for how long now?
Mm-hmm.
Because who the fuck wants to work in a coal mine? Especially when people die and there are machines now that can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And you just need people to operate the machines.
And coal's kind of on its way out anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, they were saying, you know, what can we do to mitigate climate change? Well, coal is the worst. The thing is, even if we don't do anything, coal is on its way out.
Yeah. Yeah. And it has been for some time.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's, I mean, for a myriad of reasons, but, you mm-hmm. know,
well, it's expensive.
Yeah. Expensive. And it doesn't look good when your workers keep getting the black lung and shit like that.
Yeah. And then strip mining is really the only way to get to it.
Yeah. I remember I did this one comedy show, and after the show, you know, just talking to people, and there was a guy who actually worked for a fracking company.
Mm-hmm.
It was so great listening to him because I guess he was like some manager or something like that. And someone asked him, was like, yeah, fracking, isn't that the stuff that like has been like poisoning water for people in certain areas? He's like, oh no, that's just a myth.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, I don't think it is. Especially when the water is yellow and it smells like a combination of piss and the corpse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been looking at moving to Canada.
Yeah,
just to amuse myself and Michelle, basically.
Yeah.
It's practically impossible.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The interesting thing is you can just go to Canada and stay for 6 months. In fact, you can even fill out the form if you can work remote for a U.S. company.
Yeah.
You just fill out the forms and pay the taxes, and you can just go to an Airbnb or whatever and work remotely in Canada for a U.S. company for 6 months. No problem.
Yeah.
I mean, it really complicates your taxes.
Yeah. Yeah, because like in the States, most when you work in a state for 6 months, if you're there for 6 months, then you're supposed to pay taxes.
Yeah, because, well, that's the thing, is it's basically like 6 months less a day.
Yeah.
So if you're like working in Pennsylvania for 6 months plus a day.
Yeah. You just have to come home for a week every now and then.
Well, no, it's not 6 months at a time. It's 6 months per year.
Yeah.
So yeah, you'd have to be home for 6 months.
That's
you could do that. Not only that, there's places in Canada that you can even buy that cater to the snowbirds, the people that, you know, they cater to Canadians that want to spend 6 months in Canada and 6 months in America.
Yeah.
But there's nothing stopping an American from buying property in Canada. You can do it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you didn't mind living basically in an RV or something. I was looking at one place and it was basically a little tow behind camper, but they had put a permanently attached another bedroom and a living room to it.
Yeah.
And you can buy those in America too at various campgrounds. It was, but the lot rent was like $1,000 a year.
Yeah.
And it was only like $40,000. So yeah, if it had broadband internet, it was a bit bigger. And of course, you can always do Airbnb. That way you don't even have to buy anything.
Yeah.
And also that campground was only open for 6 months of the year.
Yeah.
So it was catering to the Canadians that want to spend 6 months in America, you know, 6 months less a day in America and then 6 months in Canada.
Yeah.
There was this, you know, big campground with all these, you know, had like a swimming pool, a little fishing lake. It was only like half an hour from the nearest city.
Yeah.
And you could drive there in less than a day. That's also important.
Yeah. Strange times.
Mm-hmm. I think the only other thing that I have written down is, I seen The Last Dragon from the 80s.
Yeah.
I seen that getting a lot of love online recently.
Huh. I wonder why.
Maybe it always has been. And I just noticed, you know, kind of you see it once and then you start paying attention. Now you see it everywhere. So yeah. Maybe it's not a trend, but I just thought that was odd.
Yeah.
I remember seeing that. I watched it once or twice and it seemed really cool when I was a little kid, but as I got older, I realized this is really cheesy.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I know that. I believe that movie has like a definitely cult following.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was never the greatest movie.
Mm-hmm.
Cause that's Berry Gordy's movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, there's a lot of those 80s movies are like that. They're just, you thought they were good, but
yeah. Well, yeah, it just kind of got me thinking of like Band of the Hand.
Yeah.
Which I don't really remember. And Misfits of Science.
Oh, yeah, I vaguely remember that show. Yeah, because that's when, it was like the science fiction sort of vibe going on with everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there was a lot of that in the 80s, especially like with movies like Weird Science and, like Real Genius. Yeah, there's actually in the 80s, there's somewhat of a like science and science fiction swing to a lot of those movies.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was never really opposed to the stuff that was kind of corny.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like when I became a teenager and stuff that was corny was really uncool.
Yeah.
Whereas now I don't find it uncool and I just find it boring. Yeah, so it's, yeah, what other 80s properties, I mean, what else seemed really cool at the time that seemed lame even just a few years later?
That's tough because a lot of the stuff that you go back and watch from that time, it does not hold up.
Yeah,
it just doesn't hold up. And actually some movies from the early 2000s don't hold up.
Yeah. And now how much of that is just because they were a product of their time and how much of it, they were bad for their time, but we thought they were cool.
Well, I think it's just a good mix of both, actually.
Yeah. Because, I mean, some stuff just doesn't age well.
Yeah, it doesn't age well. And I think with a lot of those movies, especially when it comes to like the science fiction and stuff, like the ideas were there, but like executing them just wasn't quite possible. And maybe that's due because of budget or just because the technology just, it may have been there, but just like early on stuff.
Mm-hmm. I know one thing that always pissed me off, especially about B movies, was you'd see the trailer and you think, okay, this is going to be a certain kind of movie. And then you watch it and it's like, yeah, it's not that movie that I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times, I don't remember any specific examples.
Well, like
maybe I should have prepared for this segment.
Maybe, but like on my TV, there is an app called TV Plus.
Uh huh.
And essentially, all TV Plus is internet television. Essentially, so there are different channels, but they're like they're kind of weird channels, which kind of makes it interesting. But there's like an 80s movie channel.
Mm-hmm.
And they show stuff that's like not what you would consider like the mainstream 80s stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They're playing like these kind of like oddball second tier. Like the movies have stars in them, but the movies just aren't very good. Mm-hmm. Like they're not even written very well, and kind of what the movies were about.
And they're all from Canon Films, aren't they?
No, believe it or not. No, because like the 80s had this weird thing going on. And I always think it's funny too when conservatives complain that there aren't conservative movies and shit like that. It's like, you know, in the 80s, there were so many movies made about like the communists coming here and then Americans fighting back. And there's plenty of movies in the 80s that all about guns and shit like that.
Yeah.
And the same with the 90s and every year. So but yeah, like these movies, there will be this movie. It's like, I don't know, about some guy who's running a company. Then he sort of gets kidnapped and his like twin steps in and his twin is kind of a dick. But like everyone's cool with it. Like, oh, he's a good businessman.
Mm-hmm.
But the movies just aren't very good. I'm not even sure what a lot of them were like trying to convey. Maybe at the time it seemed like it, but I don't know. And like I said, it's a weird mix of science fiction and movies about business. Because even watching some of this stuff, I'm thinking, like, who was this? Who was the target audience for it?
Yeah. I guess you can't, sometimes you can kind of tell what movie they were aping.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, wait, I'm just talking about B movies in general.
Yeah.
Yeah, but sometimes you can't.
Yeah. But then I also think it's maybe just a kind of a product of the business where, you know, these people would have a hit movie and then they would get offered other roles and you probably took it because it was a paycheck and it was a chance to work. No matter how weird it was. Because, yeah, there are movie stars, but I think if you look over the course of time and just break it down by decade, there's really only a handful, like a very small handful of what you would consider like movie stars.
Mm-hmm.
Then the rest of it is like everything else in between.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of times they only have a certain amount of budget, so they hire, you know, one halfway decent star.
Yeah.
And hopefully they get one star that's maybe not that great of an actor.
Yeah.
And a bunch of local people that are hopefully better than average community theater types.
Yeah. And now with, you know, all the options for streaming and shit like that, television is a lot better than it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, TV shows overall, the quality is greatly improved. And a lot of cases, it's on the same level as movies.
Mm-hmm.
And that never happened starting in the 80s and shit. It's like, oh, yeah, we're going to get this TV show as a spinoff for this movie. It's like, yeah, it's not good.
Yeah. Yeah. You mean over-the-air TV or are you talking Netflix type TV?
Everything.
Ah. Yeah, because for a while there, TV was just doing, this is how little I watch, TV was all reality shows because they were cheap.
Yeah. And it, and we're still there because you can see that there's a lot of like, except now the reality shows are more like reality based game show competitions.
Yeah.
So you get a little mix of the game show, then, you know, they'll try and throw comedy in there, then like, I guess, the human element to it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's like the biggest thing now, because fuck, there's even a show for domino builders where people build these elaborate domino sets.
Yeah.
And
do they try to inject drama, or is the drama just that this shit might fall over at any second?
Oh, no, they play on the drama of like, you know, someone knocks something down, or like,
yeah,
you know, it's cut and the music's intense and
mm-hmm.
like, ooh. And me and Laura actually watched that show.
Yeah.
And it does take some, I mean, it is a skill to build something like that, to build those, you know, Goldberg machines or Rube Goldberg.
Yeah.
Shit. I mean, that is, but at the same time, it's still just dominoes. And the one guy on there that they have on the panel is like this master domino builder. Whatever, and that guy is just a dick.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he is a complete dick. Like when people will build things, and like the other, he's like, "Oh, this, wow, this didn't happen." Blah blah. I mean, it's like, mm-hmm. "Shut up, nerd! Get out of here."
Yeah, that's one of the things. Like, I'm pretty sure I mentioned on the couch. There's that Barnwood Builders, which I haven't watched in since the first season. However long it's been on.
Yeah.
But like they said, they wanted to inject that kind of drama and have people arguing. And the guy's like, no, screw you. He went with a different network that allowed him to do it his way. It's like, you know, I'm 40 feet up in the air with a chainsaw in my hand and no safety equipment. The entire building could fall and kill me at any second. That's the drama. We don't need to show us arguing with each other. There's plenty of drama. People get killed doing this shit.
Yeah. But see, I would love... See, I'm sometimes heartless, and I would like to see that domino show, but they would just have a guy that would come in, and while these people were building, he would sneak up behind them and sneeze.
Yeah.
And I want it to be challenging.
Yeah. Yeah, one thing I've seen about Mythbusters, like in the early seasons, they sometimes, they never intentionally did kind of stuff, but they, Adam Savage said that they would kind of like piss in your ear, and they would tell you that so-and-so said something nasty.
Yeah.
But by about two or three seasons in, they stopped doing that because the show wasn't about that. You don't need to interject drama. Again, the show's drama enough.
Yeah. But that's kind of like the whole recipe. And that recipe, I think, started with Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Mm-hmm.
When they'd ask a question, then they, you know, have this drama. Like, oh, what do you want to do?
Mm-hmm.
And then too, I'm demented. Then I start, you know, because I've read enough science fiction and shit like that, and the game shows that are in the future are usually a little more sinister than that.
Yeah,
it's like to get to this next level of $10,000, you got to decide between your family pets.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for a show that's all about TV and film trivia, they really amped it up for this.
Yeah, I think that's one of the reasons why I watch YouTube. It's almost drama-free.
Yeah.
I swear, they even try to put drama into, like, historical shows and stuff. Like, I guess, that makes it interesting to some people. But not everyone wants to watch that.
Yeah. Yeah, the historical dramas.
Yeah.
I think now more than ever, I think people are just watching those things because they're thinking, man, if you even go back 10 years, it was better than where we were. Or even 6 years. Let's just make it 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think we did it. I think that's like an hour, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've done like a bunch of podcasts in the past week alone. It's been strange.
Well, you've always got my boring and unfocused podcast to come back to.
Yeah. And sometimes it has to be like that. I mean, considering how many podcasts are released every day.
Yeah.
Same with, I think the stat on music is like there's 10,000 new songs released daily.
Yeah. Yeah, we got put on a playlist for a month.
Yeah.
Like a Spotify playlist.
Yeah.
And so we went from having maybe two or three listeners a day to, and that's usually me and Bill are two of them. So we were suddenly up to like 60 listeners a day.
Yeah.
But now they took us off the playlist and it's just me and Bill again. I guess nobody liked us that much.
Maybe. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, who knows?
Yeah. Well, my goal with this band, at least right now, is I want to be big enough that when a good punk rock band comes to town, they asked us to open and we don't have to sell any tickets.
Yeah.
I don't think we'll ever get there.
Yeah, you never know.
Like I said, I'm not really willing to put the effort into it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I put effort into the band, a lot of effort, but I'm just, again, this is my hobby. It's not even my only hobby.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just kind of seeing what happens and going that way.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I try and work out because, like I said, I don't want to be that guy. It's like, oh, he does comedy. And it's more of like, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, that was some time we're never getting back.
Yeah.
Or when you meet people and they're like, oh, you're still doing that, huh?
Yeah.
That is. I got recognized at a store yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was different. It was just funny.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, me and my husband have seen you several times down in York.
Yeah, that happened to our drummer, Bill, when he was at the checkout line at Giant. The cashier recognized him.
Yeah, it's fun when it's just kind of, it's, you know, like all places.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was in a Dollar General when that happened. Because I needed some bacon bits.
Yeah. I might edit this part off. We're just BSing with each other now.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got a Halloween gig. We're going to be playing Nirvana songs. That's really going to suck. Oh, God, especially if Kirk doesn't show up.
Yeah.
I really can't sing like Kurt Cobain. I'm not even going to try. I'm just going to mumble through it my usual self. But I decided, you ever seen a picture of Robert Quine?
Yeah.
Yeah, I told Bill I was going to dress as Robert Quine. So he typed it into the computer, brought up a picture. He's like, oh, so what are you going to do? Buy a pair of sunglasses? Like, yeah. I mean, looking at pictures of him, it's almost like I'm looking at pictures of myself. I swear. If you see a picture of him without his sunglasses, we looked totally different. But he was tall. We had the same head shape, the same bald hair.
Yeah.
Put on sunglasses and a leisure suit, and I'm done.
Yeah.
And the thing is, no one's going to know who I am. Oh, are you like a Men in Black? No. Blues musician? No. If you knew who I was supposed to be, you'd think I was him.
Yeah, normally you should try and come up with somebody a little more relevant than Robert Klein.
Yeah, but I can't help it.
At least people can Google Robert Klein.
Yeah.
But I want everyone here to take out their phones and Google Robert Klein. Now you know what I was going for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at least the songs are easy to play.
Yeah.
The only one that gives me any trouble is In Bloom.
Yeah.
Because it's all power chords. I can't play open chords for anything. I can play it just fine, but I'll have a hard time playing it and singing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if Kirk shows up, and he probably will by that point, his mom died.
Yeah, yeah, so, I've seen that.
Yeah, so he says, like, I'm not even doing this for, like, another 2 or 3 months.
Yeah.
See you in the fall. Anyway, that would work well because I could play the guitar part during the verse. He'd only have to play the chorus,
yeah,
which is easy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's that's probably, what, 4 months away, almost 4 months away.
Yeah.
Actually, there is a pop song. I think it would be that will work for you guys to cover.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a song by this guy called Sean Mendez. His name is Sean Menendez. And the song is called Holding You, Holding Me Back. But
is
I mean,
it
that's.
Me? Is it Holding Me Back?
Yeah, I think so. I want to make sure I. There we go. Sean Menendez. Yeah, there's nothing holding me back. But the basics of that song is, you know, it's pretty much like a straightforward, probably mid-tempo rock song.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, of course, it's a little poppy, but if you listen to it and you hear the bones of that song, it's a song that's that would be a great cover, a great mm-hmm. cover song.
Yeah. And who knows, we can do some Menendez Brothers songs next.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Mr. Buffalo. Nobody will get that.
Nope.
The one guy, they killed their parents and then they took the money and he bought a Buffalo Wings restaurant, Mr. Yeah. Buffalo.
Yeah.
So that's a really obscure reference. I just thought that, you know, in the middle of all this like horrible death and tragedy, that is a restaurant named Mr. Buffalo.
Well, I'm going to go because I got to piss.
I did that before we started for once.
Well, I drank a cup of tea and some water while I was sitting here. So now,
oh. Yeah, I just had a can of Diet White Birch Beer.
Ooh.
Caffeine free and I'm back on caffeine. I kicked it for a while.
Yeah.
But then I read that caffeine is a diuretic.
Yeah.
So as long as you don't overdo it, it actually lowers your blood pressure. I feel like an idiot. It's like, no wonder my blood pressure didn't improve.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I'm going to go.
Yeah, I'll let you get going.
All right. I'll see you later.
Bye.
Bye.